May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of our patron saint, Francis of Assisi. Before proceeding, it is important to understand that today, St. Francis Day, may require more of us than we can imagine. Allow me to explain. Last year, my wife, Suzanne, and I came to church totally unaware of what was about to happen. For the first time in 15 years, we were not dog owners, having lost our second dog earlier that summer. While we truly loved our dogs, speaking honestly, it was kind of nice not having the extra wear and tear on the house, not having to arrange to board the dogs when we traveled, and not having to get up early to open the door or clean up. So when we came out of church last October to take part in the fantastic St. Francis Day festivities, we purposely did not look over at the rescue animals. Our motto that day quickly became, just say no. I then went to get the car and pulled up front with the motor running, waiting for Suzanne. A few minutes later, it was Mother Paula instead who appeared, with her hands on her hips and a firm but loving look on her face. She didn't mess around and urgently said, "Hank, turn off your car and come look at this dog. How can you say no to one of God's creatures?" Let's freeze the story right there. Paula's simple question has stayed with me this past year and caused me to approach the world a little bit differently. So when Mother Sarah asked me to preach today, my mind immediately conjured up a multitude of paintings and sculptures surrounded by many different animals. And yes, I heard Mother Paula's question all over again. How can you say no to one of God's creatures? Though he died at only the age of 44 in the year 1226, Saint Francis is revered today for the life he led through God and for the fact that he got to the point about halfway through his life where he didn't say no to any of God's creatures. I've always loved reading stories about people's lives, what made them tick, how they prepared themselves, and how they responded to different situations, and how their life lessons can help us live our lives. Do any of you remember those blue cloth bound biographies of famous Americans? Well, I read every one that was on the shelves of Wingate Elementary School and our local library in Bethesda, Maryland. As I immersed myself in the life of Francis this past month, I felt the excitement that I remembered way back in grade school and quickly realized that Francis's life is the sermon and that there are clear life lessons for each of us. First, Francis eventually said yes to God. Born in Italy circa 1181 as Francesco di Pietro di Brindadone, his life did not start out very saint-like. His father was a wealthy cloth merchant who owned farmland around Assisi, and Francis wanted for nothing during his youth. He was spoiled. Indulging himself with fine food and drink, was known as a ladies' man, and according to the historians, regularly broke the city curfew. He was also known for his charm and being dandy in his dress. Francis had no desire to follow into his father's business. And when war broke out between Assisi and Perugia, he joined the military at the age of 21. During the fighting, Francis was captured and imprisoned for ransom. Soldiers from Assisi who could not command a ransom were killed. Francis spent nearly a year in prison awaiting his father's ransom, and during this time reportedly began receiving visions from God. When he came back to Assisi after the war, Francis was a very different man. He had fought and lost in a bitter, bloody war and was left with mental and physical scars. He also had to try and make sense of the visions of God he encountered while imprisoned. One day, as he would later report, while riding on a horse in the countryside, Francis encountered a leper, regarded at the time as the lowest of the low, a true untouchable. Previously, Francis would have run from the leper, but on this occasion, he acted differently. Viewing the leper as a symbol of moral conscience, or as Jesus incognito, according to some religious scholars, he embraced and kissed the leper and later described the experience as life-changing. Or perhaps he felt God ask a simple question. How can you say no to one of God's creatures? After this encounter, Francis said he felt released from many of his inhibitions. Suddenly, his earlier life of wine, women, and song had lost all of its appeal. Francis, who was now in his early 20s, began focusing on God. Instead of working, he spent more and more time at a remote mountain hideaway, as well as in old, quiet churches around Assisi, looking for answers. During this time, while praying before an old Byzantine crucifix at the church of San Damiano, Francis reportedly heard the voice of Christ, who told him to rebuild the Christian church and to live a life of extreme poverty. After this epiphany, Francis experienced a defining moment in his life. In order to raise money to rebuild the Christian church, he stole a bolt of cloth and a horse from his father. His father became furious upon learning of his son's crimes and dragged Francis before the local bishop. The bishop told Francis to return his father's money, to which his reaction was extraordinary. He stripped off his clothes and passed them along with the money back to his father, declaring that God was now the only father he recognized. This event is credited as Francis's final conversion, and there is no indication that Francis and his father ever spoke again thereafter. The bishop gave Francis a rough tunic, and dressed in these new humble clothes, Francis began preaching around Assisi. Mario Vangallo, in his book, Living Our Future, Francis of Assisi and the Church Tomorrow, states that at first people simply regarded Francis as a madman, like his father did. Despite the negativity around him, Francis continued preaching, and soon others began to follow him. The first was Bernard de Quintavalle, a prudent and respected merchant. He told Francis he wanted to dispose of everything the Lord had given him in whatever way Francis thought best. Francis said that early the next day they would go to the church and from the gospel book hear what the Lord had ordered his disciples to do. A third man joined them, Peter Catani, a lawyer. When they got to the church, a portuncula, the gospel book was alongside the altar, so that anyone could read it. Where shall we open it? They asked. So Francis prayed to God that he might make known his will in the opening of the book. They opened the Bible three times and came upon the three gospel readings from today. Matthew 19:21, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give it to the poor. Luke 9:3, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And finally, Matthew 16:24, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Francis said, brothers, that is our life. That is our rule for us and all for who wish to join us. At this point in the story, Mary Vangali interjects that not all historical sources are in complete agreement over this story at the church in Portiuncula. But Vangali includes the story because Francis' experience was not simply a narration that incidentally came from Holy Scripture. For Francis, it comprised in a real way the revelation of his whole way of life, the end of his time searching. Holy Scripture, as the Word of God, had consciously become his guide. From that moment on, Francis and his companions, his followers, wanted to lead a life according to the gospel. So what's the lesson for us? Each of us are invited to say yes to God. How we respond will define our lives. Francis is a great role model. As we learn through his story, he finally said yes to God, prayed to God for discernment, was open to God's guidance, and followed God's path for him. The ball is in our court. No one is expecting us to leave here and sell everything we own, dress ourselves in a tunic, and rely on others to care for us. What we do hope happens is that we read God's word and apply it to our lives. We realize the importance of serving people as Christ first served us. Or in other words, how can we say no to one of God's creatures? Not only did Francis say yes to God and rely on God's scripture to be his true guide, but he also was a living example of faith in action. Let's take a moment to think about what Francis did. His Christ-like poverty was a radical notion at the time. The Christian church was tremendously rich, much like the people heading it, which concerned Francis and others, who felt that the church's long-held apostolic ideals had eroded. Francis set out on a mission to restore Jesus Christ's own original values to the now decadent church. With his incredible charisma and preaching in up to 5 villages per day, thousands of followers were soon drawn to him, listening to his sermons and joining in his way of life. His followers became known as Franciscan friars, who, as we know, continue today. Despite being called a madman, Francis didn't look back. Yesterday, Bishop Bruno told a gathering of seminarians, clergy, and laity, every one of you has a ministry. Put it on your shoulders and hoist it high, and people will see in your eyes that you are the voice of Christ. We are called, like Francis, to put our faith into action, to look for ways to say yes to God's creatures and say yes to Christ. In so doing, we will be blessed beyond all imagination, like I was last St. Francis Day when I listened to Paula, got out of my car and sat down by the rescue animals. Right away, this little minpin came over, sat down, and put her head in my lap. Let me introduce you to Olive. For after all, how can we say no to one of God's creatures? Amen.